the dollars and cents to financial freedom. And we've been talking a lot about money, 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 money. And I know for some of you, I've got some good news for you. We got one more weekend of this. It'll be next Sunday. But man, you have got to do your very best to come here next week, because we're going to do something that has never been done here at Christ Community Church in the, how many years has this church been here? 30 years. It's never been done. It's going to happen next Sunday. So you got to be here. Well, we've been talking a whole lot about money, 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 money. And you know what? We see this everywhere. They've got TV channels designated talking about money. You got magazines. They've got articles, all main topics. Money, money, money. But you know what? Jesus talked about money as well. And a lot of people don't want to hear what Jesus has to say about money. In fact, I got a text from someone who said, people would rather hear a sermon about Jesus than hear one of what Jesus has to say about money. Which is so true. In fact, according to the survey by the American Bible Society, they said that even though Jesus, greatest teacher ever, when it had to do with money, 86% of those that they surveyed said they don't trust the Bible's advice about money. And yet 25% of those same people said, well, if they did follow the Bible's instructions, they would have a whole lot more money in the bank. 50% said that they would take financial advice from Donald Trump over the Bible. And get this, 1 in 10 people ages 18 through 34, in other words, a lot of our kids, said that they would be more inclined to take financial advice from the Kardashians over Jesus and the Bible. That's some scary stuff, right? But it's true. Very few people want to hear what Jesus has to say about money, because let's be frank, let's be honest. What he says about it is pretty darn radical. Makes us squirm when we hear his teachings. And so the tendency that we have is whenever we hear Jesus teaching on subjects like this, what we want to do is we want to soften Jesus up. We want to do something to his teachings to make it a little bit more easier to listen to and to follow. Which reminds me of a few years back, there was this century-old painting, beautiful painting. And it was starting to peel. It was out there in a Catholic church in Spain. And it was starting to peel. And some 80-year-old woman that goes to the church decided on her own, she said, you know what, I'm going to fix the painting. And she ended up doing something like that. Time magazine called it the potato Jesus. I call it the sock monkey. Right? But that's what we try and do many ways. We try and soften Jesus up. We want to paint over his teachings to make it a little bit more easier to follow. But in this series that we've been in here at Christ Community Church, let me tell you, we have tried our very best not to mess with Jesus and his teachings, but rather just to listen, to truly listen what he has to share. And so what I want us to do is let's dig into this passage that he talks about, money and how we should handle it. And it's in Matthew 6, 19 through 24. Look what it says there. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermins destroy and where thieves can break in and steal. He says, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moths and vermins cannot destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And then he goes on to say, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you're going to hate one, love the other, you're going to be devoted to one and despise the other. But you cannot serve both God and money. And so Jesus says, That money, how we use it, how we spend it, how we save it, how we manage it, is the single most revealing thing about our lives. That money shows us what we value the most. And so what I want us to do is I want to ask ourselves these four very important questions. If you're taking notes, here's question number one. Where is your treasure? That's question number one. Where is your treasure? Now, before you answer, let's look at verses 19 and 20 one more time. Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasure here on earth where things can destroy it, where thieves can break in and steal. He wants our focus to be instead, he said, store for yourselves treasure in heaven where moths and vermin, they cannot destroy it, where thieves do not break in and steal. And so Jesus says, you can choose to make your life all about the treasures here on earth, or you can build up treasures in heaven. You can invest in the things that God wants you to invest in, or you can invest in the things of the world. The choice is yours. It's up to you, he says. So what's the difference? Well, let's look at what happens when we store up things here on earth. Jesus says, your treasures here will deteriorate, depreciate on you. What do moths and all that look like in our day? Well, some of us from one day to the next have lost our employment. Some of us, we've invested in stocks to see when we had that recession or the company goes down and you just see it just crash. He says, everything that you and I own that's here loses its value. A great example is this is a car. The minute you drive off the car lot, you lose 11% immediately. It's not just in automobiles, cell phones, computers, clothes, furniture. It loses its value very, very quickly. So he's asking us, why would you treasure that stuff if it loses value the minute you walk out of it, the store with it? Why connect your heart to something that will depreciate? He says, and top it off, you can lose it. Someone can come in and steal it. This is why when you purchase nowadays, many of us, we worry about this. This is why you go to the store immediately. It could be the smallest little gadget. And what does a cashier always ask you when you purchase it? You want a warranty with that? Why? They know that that's where our worry is. We're concerned about everything that we buy. We worry about it. And so Jesus is like, why do this to yourselves? People, here's another great example. Go to Walmart, go to the stores, any around, who are the people that park like 10 miles away from the store? The ones that drive the really nice cars, right? The Porsche, the Mercedes. They're the ones that are parked way out there. Why? They're worried somebody's going to ding their car with a door. You know, you know what? I'm so thankful I don't have that worry. I drive a Honda Pilot. In fact, let me share something with you. True story. Rose and I, the kids, we went to Sunset Beach, parked the car. Had a good old time there, and we said, all right, let's go ahead and head out. So we're walking towards the car, and I see there's a car filled with college kids, and they're backing up, and then, boom, they hit my car. And I'm like, oh, man. And Rose and I, we look at each other like, oh, shoot. And we're walking towards there, and the young girl gets down, and she sees, and she's looking, and there's this big old dent in the back of my truck. Big. It's a big one. And she's like frantic, and she's looking at her friends, and they're looking, and they're like, oh, goodness. And I'm thinking to myself, she's going to jump in the car, and they're going to take off. So we're walking towards her, and she looks at me, and she says, is this your car? And I said, yes. Oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. I said, don't worry about it. You know what happens. Things like this happen. Let's just go check it out. So we're walking towards the dent, and I kid you not, this happened. All of a sudden, the bumper just pops back out. And we're like, what? And I'm like, you see, you don't have anything to worry about. I don't have to give you my info. No, that's it. Don't worry. Just be safe. Drive safe. And she just couldn't believe it. And her friends were looking at each other like, what in the world? People around couldn't believe it. There was a car that drove right as soon as they left. The car drove up, and the guy looks at me. Do you know they hit your vehicle? I'm like, yeah. I've got their info. I've got their license plate if you need it. No, it's all good. Thank you, though. But they hit your vehicle. I know. It's all right. He takes off. So we're driving out. The parking lot attendant I took a picture of their license plate. You need it? I can text it to you right now. No, that's okay. I'm not worried about that. And so here's Jesus. He's saying, why are you going to invest in so much if you're going to constantly be worried about the earthly treasures? If all it's going to do is increase our stress level, all it's going to do is cause us to spend endless amount of energy and time and money trying to protect it, not lose it. And in fact, eventually, we all lose it. We leave it. We don't take it with us. And so Jesus says he wants us to ask this question. Where is your treasure? Question number two. Where is your heart? Where's your heart? Verse 21. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, when I used to read this a lot, I used to think, well, so if I get my heart right with God, then my treasures are going to follow. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying very clearly, he says that our heart follows our treasure. So you position your heart by positioning what you treasure and not the other way around. In other words, if you want to know what your heart serves, if you really want to know what your heart rests on, what has real meaning in your life, what is the real source of your self-worth, Jesus says it's very easy to see. Where your money goes most joyfully, where it goes most effortlessly, where it flies right out of your pocket, that is what you treasure. Best example that I can think of is, so I've been watching the World Series. And I'm going for the Houston Astros, not because I'm from Texas, but because there's this short little dude on there named Altuve. And man, I just relate to that guy because I see him mixed in with a bunch of giants and he's doing all sorts of good things and he's high-fiving them. He's always like, so I'm like, I love this dude and I love this team. Think about the World Series. So let's just say one of my kids comes up to me and he says, hey, Dad, he's a big baseball fan, wants to be a major league baseball player. And he comes up, Dad, can we go to the World Series? Can we go to the World Series? Can we go to the World Series? No, please, please, please. All right, let me check out the ticket. So I go online and I check. Cheapest seats, $550 per seat. Most expensive, $28,000. A ticket. No, we're not going. We'll go see the Bisons play. Oh, Dad, come on. Being I want to be a good parent, I give in. That's his dream. That's his goal. He wants to see these guys. So we go out to the, do you know, just purchasing, even if they were $20, purchasing those tickets, because I don't really care for baseball, would be a stab right in my heart. Why? It's not what I'm passionate about. It's not what I love. Money does not flow effortlessly towards those kind of things. Now, I'll tell you where it, and I'm going to confess to you where my money kind of effortlessly has been flowing to. You know what it's been? Supplements. I've been buying a bunch of things I can't even pronounce. Amino acids, turmeric, cocoa, I don't know, man, just all sorts of things. Why? Well, I just want to be healthy, and I want to, it's a good way to work out the stress and keep focused. And anyway, money flows right out of there. But enough about me. I want you to feel miserable too, so I'm going to ask you some questions. Why, for some of you, money flies out of your pocketbook towards the way you look? Body image, clothes, purses, shoes. Some of you are sitting here, you say, well, I don't spend on things, but I save a lot, and I save. I don't do those type of things. Okay, so then, do you give it away? Where's your heart? Where's your real security? What's going on? Follow the money. Money has become your security, not God. Knowledge has become your significance, not God. Beauty has become your significance, not God. And do you know where your real salvation lies? What are your real gods? What are your real masters? Jesus says, follow the money. Where your treasure is, that is where your heart really lives. Does your money fly out towards the poor? Does it fly out towards ministry? Does it fly out towards the things that God cares about? Because Jesus says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart lies. Question number three. What is your vision? What is your vision? Look at verses 22-23. The eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus talks about spiritual vision, and he gives us three different types of people that have different types of vision. Some, he says, are in complete spiritual darkness. They're not interested in Jesus. They're not interested in God. They're not interested in church. They're not interested in what the Bible has to say. They think, Jesus, the Savior, I don't need that. I'm a good person. I don't need the cross. I don't need what he did for me on the cross. And the God's word and the Bible, it's just written by some person. That right there is spiritual blindness. People have that. Then he talks about there's people that are spiritually and visually impaired. They see God. They see spiritual things. They see Jesus in the church, but they don't truly grasp the significance of why God put them here and what he wants to accomplish through them. They're not blind. They're just, their vision is blurred somewhat. They're more nearsighted than have an eternal focus. So there's that one. And here's the third type. There are people that have clear vision. They've got great sight. They've got great spiritual vision. They see what life is all about. They have an understanding of what God values, and they're investing in heavenly treasures. What is your eyesight like? Do you have vision? Fourth question. Who do you serve? Fourth question to ask ourselves. Who do you serve? Verse 24. No one can serve two masters. You're going to either hate one, love the other, or you're going to be devoted to one and despise the other. But you cannot serve both God and money. Jesus is really firm. He says there is no one, not one person, no one can serve both God and money. You just can't. So do you serve God and use money, or do you serve money and use God? Which one is it? Because it's got to be one or the other. Is it God or money? Who is your loyalty with? Who is your Lord? You can't ride the fence on it. I think of the story that Michael Jordan, the great basketball player, he shares in his book. He went down to one of the CEOs of the Bobcats. You know, he's part owner. And so he went down there. They're having dinner and they're talking. And they were going to go out, and weather was kind of chilly outside, so he asked the guy, he said, hey, can I borrow a jacket? The guy's like, yeah, go for it, man. Go to my closet and pick whatever you want. So Michael Jordan goes to the closet, and he sees that on one side, there's just a bunch of jackets, Nike. And he looks on the other side, and there's a whole bunch of jackets that are Puma. Well, you know what Michael Jordan ends up doing? He grabs all the Puma jackets, throws them on the floor, goes to the kitchen, grabs a knife, and starts shredding the Puma jackets. And the CEO dude's looking, Michael, what are you doing, man? He said, look, we cannot ever be seen with a jacket that's not Nike. Don't ever, ever wear, don't ever be seen outside with a Puma jacket, man. It's got to be Nike. You cannot ride the fence. It's one or the other. Well, you know what? Jordan's point was Jesus' point. There are competing gods in your life right now, and you can't serve them both. You cannot ride the fence. So who will you serve, and who are you going to turn your back on? And then Jesus, to put this short-sighted view He wants to give us an eternal perspective. And so he gives us this verse in Luke 16:9. Look what he says. He says, use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. You know what he's saying here? If we invest in people and change their eternal lives, there's going to be one day when we get to heaven, the very first people that they're going to come to and recognize is you for investing in them and investing in their eternity. And let me just share this with you. One of the questions that I always get asked is this: where are you from? I guess they can tell that I'm not from here because of my, I guess I have an accent. I can't hear it, but I guess I do. So they always ask me, where are you from? And I share that with them. I share them where I'm from. And they always ask me, why in the world would you come here? Why would you leave Texas? Why would you leave home to come to this place? Fredonia, of all places. There's nothing to do out here. You know what my answer is? People out here, they need Jesus. And there's nothing more gratifying, there's nothing more satisfying to me that just like this other day where I'm sitting at someone's dinner table and we're all eating and we're having a conversation and it turns spiritual. And there's this one lady who was so adamant about not believing in God and not believing in Jesus and not having anything to do with it to end up on that dinner table with her praying and receiving Jesus into her life. Amen. There's nothing like it. And so what Jesus wants us to do is he wants us to get that focus off of the things that are here that will deteriorate. And he says, focus on what is eternal.